Psalm 68 and verse number 1. Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered. Let them also that hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melteth before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. Look at verse 3. But let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. Sing unto God. Sing praises to his name. Extol him that rideth upon the heavens by his name, Jah. And rejoice before him, a father of the fatherless and a judge of the widows is God in his holy habitation. God setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would take the word of God and help us this morning. And Lord, we need you today. Lord, this preacher needs you. If I'm going to preach as I ought, I can't do it by myself. If the folks are going to listen as they ought, they can't do it by themselves. So we invite you once again, Lord, please come among us. Help us now during this important hour. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. If you'll see in the bulletin, we are proclaiming the month of March. We're using the theme of March Gladness. The focus of the sports world is shifting this month to college basketball. For those of you who follow it, you know that this month begins the start of the NCAA men's college basketball tournament. The media will hype this tournament by declaring this month as March Madness. Now, I decided to rework that phrase and make a declaration of my own. Pastor Blessed Hope Baptist Church, I'm now announcing this month we're going to observe March Gladness. While the sports world goes crazy over basketball, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to dare you to bring the same focus, the same intensity, the same passion to your Christian service. And I just want to stop and do a little commercial here and look at the camera and talk to my son-in-law, Gerald Clanny, okay? Pastor Gerald Clanny, I am calling you out, okay? I dare you for 1 month to love Jesus as much as you love UK basketball. I dare you this month to spend as much time soul winning as you do watch basketball games. I dare you to worship God as much as you do Coach Cal. Yes, yes, all right, amen. I got that out of my system, I feel better now. Say, preacher, are you a basketball fan? Well, I'm a little confused. See, I realized talking to my brother-in-law, Chuck, that me and him are both Duke fans. He watches some North Carolina basketball team, and I watch John Wayne movies. So I think that makes us both Duke fans. I'm not sure it's exactly the same. Is that close enough? You like John Wayne, too? Well, I don't like your basketball team at all. So, yeah. Don't worry, we'll get it back on track, folks. We'll get it. Amen. I want you to know something, folks. God did not save you so you could spend your life being bitter. And listen, I'm preaching to you as someone who's struggled with bitterness from time to time, okay? This sermon's as much for the pulpit as it is the pew. Come on, we're all made out of the same stuff. But every once in a while, I've had to look in the mirror and just say, wait a minute, this is not what God made you to be. And I want to say that I don't know where you're at today, but I can tell you this, there's always hope. As long as there's God, there's hope. And so I preached a message years ago, and I think, again, probably preached it as much to myself as I did anyone, and I preached this message, you can stay mad or you can get glad. And you know what? It does come down a lot of times to a personal decision. But I spent some time this week in my office just going through the glad verses. And I mean it. I just typed it in and looked at the verses that popped up on the screen and just went from Genesis to Revelation. And there's a whole lot of reasons for us as Christians to be glad. Listen, folks, it's great being a Christian. Let me say it again. It's great being a Christian. We have so many reasons to rejoice. And I want this month to be a glad month for you and your family. I want you to experience, honestly experience in your heart, in your walk with God, March Gladness. And we're going to look at some verses written by who I call the glad king, King David. He's the joy king. David, by the way, watch this. David experienced setbacks in his life. He experienced some trials. Come on, he wasn't untouched when it came to heartache. Many times he was misunderstood. You know, for a period of his life, he was hunted, he was hounded. There was a price on his head and an army of assassins on his heels. He experienced family problems, heartaches, disappointments. You know what? He was exposed to the whole realm of the human experience like each and every one of us will be. But I love this about David. You know what? You just couldn't keep a good man down. David never let it steal his gladness. And he spent his reign as the joy king, the glad king. So you pray for me as I preach on this subject, March Gladness, and how we can experience that in our lives by looking at some verses that God used David to pen for him. We read in Psalm 64, if you look there, let's go back there to Psalm 64. I'll read that. Psalm 64 and verse number 10, the Bible says this, "The righteous shall be glad in the Lord and shall trust in him, and all the upright in heart shall glory." I read in verse number 68, verse number 3, "But let the righteous be glad, let them rejoice before God, yea, let them exceedingly rejoice." Can I say this? I want to start where we need to start. March gladness can be found in the righteousness that's available through the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the first step to learning how to live the glad life is to get born again, to get saved. You just have that time in your life where you come under Holy Spirit conviction, you read the Bible, you decide to believe it, there is a God, there is a Creator. And by the way, there is such a thing as sin, and for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's not a one of us can wiggle out of that or talk our way out of it or excuse ourselves from it. We all stand guilty before God. And if every single one of us got what we deserved, you know what? We'd be right by that rich man we read about in Luke chapter 16, begging for a drop of water. But you know what? But God commendeth his love toward us. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And aren't you glad that we can stand up and a child can share this verse, because most of you children know it. You can look at anybody in the world, and it's true of them, and you can look at them and say, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And I want to say this. I just want to publicly say how thankful I am for the mercy of God and the grace of God that allowed me and my family to get under a Bible preaching preacher, a gospel preaching preacher. And I was born into an unsaved family, but you know what? There was a divine intervention and God's mercy and grace. And when I was 5 years old, my mom and dad walked me in for the first time to the Rock Run Baptist Church. And I can't wait to get to heaven to hug Pastor Evans' neck and to thank him for just preaching the Bible shotgun straight, calling sin what it is, and making sure we understood there was a penalty, but then not stopping there. It's known as the gospel, the good news. And the good news is this: God loved me so much that for some reason he wanted me. Folks, listen, God's the all-sufficient one. God doesn't need anything or anybody. And if he doesn't need us, then I can only come to one conclusion. He wanted us. He wanted us enough to send his son to die on the cross. Miss Christina, your dad and me were good friends in Bible college. And I guess one of the happiest people I've ever learned to be around. And Matt Millen, I watched him go through things in Bible college. I watched him face setbacks. I've watched him face challenges. I watched him, honestly, at times also be misunderstood. And yet it seemed like you just couldn't knock the smile off of Matt Millen's face. No matter what he faced, it just seemed like he just bounced right back up. And next thing you know, there he is taking off down the hallway of the college with a big smile on his face. And I asked him one day, I said, "Matt, what's your problem? What do you mean? You're just too happy all the time. What's your problem? And you know what he'd always say? I've heard him quote this a thousand times. He'd just look at me and he said this. Only he quoted it. I'll read it. He said, "I waited patiently for the Lord and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies." Let me tell you something, folks, that will keep you in a glad state. Just never get far away from your salvation experience. Hey, preacher, I'm going through a tough time. Then go back to that day you got saved. Preacher, I don't know what. I can't shake it today. Sometimes I get the blues. I get down and I don't know what it is. Go back to that time when you received Jesus Christ as your Savior. And you know what? It'll put you in a glad place. But wait a minute. There's also good instruction for us as Christians. Let me have you turn over to Psalms 122, verse number 1. We'll read another verse, another glad verse. Psalms 122, and verse number 1. The Lord used David also to write this. He said, I was glad when they said unto me, watch this, let us go into the house of the Lord. And you know what? If you want to have a glad month, if you want this to be March gladness, then I could just encourage you. You're off to a good start because it's the first Sunday in the month of March. And guess where you're at? You're at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Just something about walking into the house of the Lord. David said this, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. You know, David experienced a wonderful flood of happiness at the mere mention of going to worship. He wasn't even there yet. Somebody just said, hey, you know where we ought to go? Where? Let's go to the house of the Lord. And he wasn't even there. And there was a flood of happiness and excitement that came into his heart. The word glad in this verse is a powerful word. It means to brighten up, to become blithe, gleesome, cheerful, to make glad and joyful and merry, to cause one to very much rejoice. The mere mention of going to church created in David a powerful and positive emotion. No matter how tough his week had been, the prospect of going to the house of the Lord changed his heart from bad to glad. Assembling together on the Lord's Day put a divine reset button in his soul. And by the way, it still does that for Jerry Ross today. His spirit sprang up at the prospect. His heart counted the days. 3 days till Sunday. 2 days till Sunday. I go through my mind every week. 1 day till Sunday. Tomorrow is the Lord's Day. His mind anticipated the event. His mood brightened. His pulse quickened. A smile played at the corner of his mouth. Soon I will get to go. Soon I will get to gather. Soon I will stand in my place in the house of the Lord. I'd like to encourage every one of you to maybe take time this month and ask God, help me to just fall back in love with church. Amen. Help me to fall back in love with coming to church. Thinking of coming makes me glad. I want to say this. Let me testify. I love church. I love church. Coming to church makes me glad. Seeing my church family, you know what? That makes me glad. Watching the children unload off the buses and watching our core kids run around here like a bunch of Apaches, man, it just makes my heart glad. The piano music makes me glad. Boy, the offertory was so good. Thank you, Miss Rachel. We've got the best piano players in America here. And I just listening before church and the piano's doing the prelude. And you know what? I just smile. Singing makes me glad. Laughter makes me glad. The choir. Boy, you did good this morning. That makes me glad. Special music makes me glad. Giving makes me glad. Praying makes me glad. Preaching makes me glad. Amens make me glad. Amens make me glad. Amens. It makes me laugh, all right. You know what? The invitation makes me glad. I'm glad not only to the chance to hear the word of God, but I'm glad for a chance to do something about what I've heard. People coming make me glad. People staying make me glad. People going makes me glad. Church is my glad place. I mean, it's what we live for. It's what we love. It's what we do. It's who we are. It's family. It's just family time, you know. If you come in here and you have a bad time, if you come to church and you have a bad time, you know, I got to say this. In this church, you got to work hard at doing it. Congratulations. So, because everything's kind of set up for us to experience something sweet. And you know what? I understand, like I said, doesn't mean that everything that's gone on in your life's been good this week. But there's something about coming to the glad place that just hits a reset button. If you want to experience March gladness, then first of all, make sure you're saved. Number two, rededicate yourself to being faithful to the house of the Lord. Let me take you to another glad verse, Psalms 31. A few pages back, Psalms 31. Let's look at verse number 7. I'm just giving you a few of the verses that I had so much fun with in my office this week. I want March to be March gladness in my heart. I want it to be March gladness in your heart. Number three, March gladness comes from knowing that God has not forgotten me in my adversities. Look at Psalms 31 and verse 7. I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy. Why? For thou hast considered my trouble, thou hast known my soul in adversities. You say, preacher, you talk about being glad because you're saved, talk about being glad because you come to church, but preacher, we have trouble. We have adversities. There's things going on in our life. By the way, yes, you do. But you can still be glad over this one thing. Watch this. God has not forgotten you in the midst of your troubles. One of the verses I like to read is this, Psalms 46 and verse number 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. You know, I was studying that out one day and I read that verse and I needed it. I was in one of those times where I just needed to be reminded of that. God is our refuge and strength and a very present help in trouble. By the way, I love the wording of the King James Holy Bible. I want to say to those determined to change it, just leave it alone. Doesn't need a revised or rewritten. Just preach it the way it is and watch it produce repentance and rebirth and revival. It's done it for centuries. It can do it today. But I have also watched this wonderful holy book get people through some pretty tough times. And I want to say to those of you that are going through a dark valley, preacher, you know, you've declared this to be the month of gladness, but I'm facing a lot of heartache right now. I want to say that you can still be glad, because you know what? We are reminded in Psalms 31:7, I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble. God is not too busy to take notice of what you're going through. He went on to say this, thou hast known my soul in adversities. Preacher, I'm just going through adversities. I feel like that me or my wife or our marriage or our kids, our families, just we're in the midst of a satanic attack. Let me just remind you, God knows it, God sees it, God considers it, and you are not alone. You see, if you notice in that verse, Psalms 46, verse 1, where it says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. I love that. He made me a promise. God promises to be a very present help during times of trouble. Now think about the difference between being present and very present. God's always present. But when you're going through two tough times, all of a sudden he gets very present. Now think about that. Let's notice the English grammar. A handful of you will understand this. The rest of you just nod like you know what I'm talking about. Very present help. Let's look at that phrase, very present help, adverb, adjective, noun. How many knew that? Adverb, adjective, noun. You guys are so lying. You are lying up here. During trials and testing, think about that. Adverb, adjective, noun, very present. Very modifies present. Present modifies help. Adverb, adjective, noun, very carries the meaning of being vehemently, wholly, speedily, especially, quickly, exceedingly, while the adjective present means to come forth, to appear and exist, to be present or found. What God is trying to communicate to us. I hope this is helping someone. He's trying to communicate to us through this verse is this. God is saying, in your life, you will have to face trouble. But during those times, he says, I will be your refuge and strength. Then he adds these three wonderful words, very present help. During trials and testings, he is there, but he's not just there. He's very there. And not just very there, but there for a specific purpose. He's very there to bring aid and to bring help. What this verse is teaching us is that God's presence intensifies during times of trouble. God's power amplifies during times of trouble. Whenever one of his children faces a satanic attack, God has promised to wholly, speedily, exceedingly, especially, quickly, and mightily appear and exist to help and aid you in your time of trouble. If the devil's telling you God's forgotten you at this point in time, he's telling you a lie. God's never been more present than he is right now in your life, in your family, with your children, in your situation. Whew, that's good. When you face tribulation, you have a great opportunity to see God as you never have seen Him before, and to learn things about God you've never learned before. You know why? Because His presence is intensified. During times of trouble, you have an opportunity to become an eyewitness to the intensified presence and the amplified power of God. So you know what? I know it's hard to go through it, but don't miss the presence of God, because He is there. He is there. You want to experience March gladness? Then remember this. Watch this. When you get to heaven one day, please hear me. You might look back and discover that what you thought was the worst times of your life was really the best times of your life. Because it was then that you experienced the presence of God like you never had before. You know, David said this, yes, I have trouble, and yes, I have adversities, but I will be glad and rejoice. You know why? Because I also have mercy. And I also know that God's not forgotten me, that He even now considers my trouble. He knows the condition of my soul, and He has promised to be a very present help to me. And you know what that did? Even in a hard time in his life, it put a smile on his face, and he said this, I will be glad. Psalms 34, it's just 11:30. We can do one or two more, can't we? Psalms 34, verse 1 and 2. You want March gladness? It's waiting for you in the Bible. There it is. Amen. If you want March gladness, then be saved if you're not saved. If you want March gladness, say, you know what? I think for 1 month, and maybe that's never happened in my life before, but I think from this Sunday on the rest of the month, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, I'm just going to walk into the house of the Lord. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to realize that even though I've got heartaches and trouble, I can still be glad. Number four, March gladness comes from deciding to praise the Lord anyway. Let me just teach you a phrase I learned from my mother. You know what she would say from time to time? She'd say, praise the Lord anyway. Psalms 34, verse 1 and 2, I will bless the Lord at, when? All times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. I don't know if my mom ran a stop sign or the guy that hit her ran the stop sign. We were leaving where we lived there, where the Livicks live now. We were heading straight to the south. And we got down to, it'd be the second stop sign. I don't know, I was in the back seat. My memory tells me that my mother run the stop sign, but my mother tells me that the other guy run the stop sign. All I know is some of us kids were in the back seat. We were coloring away, and we were going down the hill, and next thing I know, man alive, we got hit in the side, and a car sat there in the middle of the intersection, spun around about three times, and my mom screams, and my coloring book goes up in the air, and I remember that me and David, when we get hit like that, we both, for some reason, you think two kids would go the same way? We didn't. We went like this and bumped heads real hard, and I'm sitting there stunned and dazed and dust, and my mom, and all of a sudden it got quiet, and I thought, what happened? And then I hear my mom say, well, praise the Lord anyway. Folks, if you can learn that. You know why you get hit sometimes? Listen, you know why you get hit in life? Because you run a stop sign. Can we just get an amen there? You know, not everything that comes in our life is somebody else's fault. But let me also say this. You know why you get hit in life sometimes? Because you're obeying the law and somebody else ran a stop sign. Can I get an amen there also? Either way, guess what? You still got hit. Okay, so what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Now, it's wonderful when a Christian just gets predisposed to this. See, I think one of the wisest things that I was taught was to go ahead and decide before something happens the way I'm going to react to it. You know, why don't you go through the scenarios of life and say, you know what, how am I going to react to this? Hey, preacher, will nobody knows how they can react. Well, you know what, you can think through it and make some decisions. Because we're not just a person of emotion, we're a person of intellect, we're a person with a mind. And how you think does affect how you feel. I remember thinking years before my dad passed away, you know what, how am I going to handle that? What am I going to do about that? I would make some decisions before it happened, Brother Chad. Before it ever happened, I'd make some decisions about it. How am I going? What am I? Listen, one of the things I decided a long time ago is, God, no matter what you bring in my life, I'm not going to bitterness. I'm not saying, look, I already admit it. I'm not saying that from time to time I didn't struggle with it. Come on, I'm a human. I'm not. I say this often. Don't ever judge somebody in their initial reaction when they're going through a time of heartache and crisis, because we're human. But you know what I said? I said, I'm not going to throw away years of my life bitter over something that maybe God decided and something God allowed that maybe I don't understand. I'm just not doing that. And so I thought about it before. Come on, I mean that. I thought about it before. And I think David kind of was of this mindset. You know what he said? He said, listen, I'm just going to bless the Lord. Now this is what he wrote. I'm going to bless the Lord at all times. Now, wait a minute, David. You don't know what those times are going to hold. I know. You don't know what God's going to allow to come into your life. I know. You don't know what attack Satan has planned. I know, but I've just already decided something. I'm just going to bless the Lord at all times. And he said this, you know what? His praise is going to, shall continually be in my mouth. And you know what? When you get broadsided in life, you know what? After the dust settles and the car stops spinning, maybe you ought to just say under your breath, praise the Lord anyhow. Amen. Praise the Lord anyhow. Let's look at one more verse, Psalms 35. And verse number 27, Psalms 35, verse number 27. I love this verse. Let them shout for joy and be glad. Let them shout for joy and be glad. That favor my what? Righteous cause. Woo. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. March gladness comes from deciding to praise the Lord anyway. Let me give you number five. March gladness comes from getting involved in a righteous cause. The happiest people are the ones that are busy for the Lord. Listen, I'm going to make some statements. Listen to me, okay? You will never experience the joy of the Lord until you find a cause bigger than yourself. You can write that down, take it to the bank. You will never experience the joy of the Lord until you find a cause bigger than yourself. If the biggest cause you have is you, then you are of all men most miserable. That's not a cause. That's a sin. That selfishness. But when you decide in your life that you're going to be consumed with something bigger than you, I mean, there's joy in losing yourself in a righteous cause. There is joy in losing yourself in a righteous cause. There's no greater joy than to be used of God to reach others and to help others. You know when I became happy? Went through a handful of years, my teenage years. Handful of those years, I'll be honest with you, I just lived a miserable life. You know why? Because I judged everything in life by how it affected me. And everything that I was about was about me, and every focus of my life was inward. And I lived that, Brother Levi. I don't have to read about it, I lived it. And I was miserable. Now, I try to convince everybody how happy I was. But I was miserable. It wasn't until as a born-again Christian, I walked down an aisle and decided that I'd die to myself and live for God, that I began to finally figure out why Christians were so happy. And I went down to a conference and had a preacher preach, and he preached on the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, and I listened to that, and he painted with words what happened on Calvary in a way that I'd never seen it before, and I sat there with my eyes and my mind's eye, and I watched what Jesus did for me. And I was already saved, but I went to an altar, and I said, Jesus, if you did that for me, then what do you need me to do for you? I just decided I was going to live for Jesus. And this is before I was called to preach. I just decided I was going to live for Jesus. And I read in the Bible, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. I read in the Bible where Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You know what? I wasn't called to preach, but I could go with the men here and go soul winning. I decided I was going to get consumed with that. Went off to Bible college, joined a fisherman's club. Had never won a soul to Christ in my life. Are you listening to me? I'm trying to give some of you a cause. I'd never want anybody to the Lord Jesus Christ in my life, and I just decided, Lord, I'm not going to quit praying, and I'm not going to quit practicing, and I'm not going to quit going and pursuing until you let me see that miraculous moment where someone I talk to actually gets born again. And it took several months, but you know what? God blessed my faithful attempts and my feeble attempts and allowed me to win my first soul to Christ. And folks, listen to me. I've never gotten over that. And every single one that I win, I think, well, that should satisfy. But all it does is make me want to win somebody else. I'm talking about a cause. You know what? In Bible college, they said we need people to work in the bus ministry. And I went as a helper on a bus route. And you know what I did? I just threw my life. Listen, I lost my life in a cause bigger than me. And I decided if I'm going to be a bus worker, I'm going to be the best bus worker that has ever been here. And I poured my life into it and was a blessing to my driver, my captain, and the other workers. And soon I was made a bus captain. You're going to make me a bus captain. You're going to give me a bus. Man, a weight of responsibility came on my shoulders. That church was paying money to rent that bus and paying fuel for that bus. And you know what? We got to bring people in. We've got to get people saved. And you know what? I lost myself in a cause. I lost myself in a cause that was bigger than me. And if you'll just go through the rest of my life, you know what? Maybe one area of service ended here and God moved me to another place. But you know what? Everywhere I've gone, I've just said to myself, if I'm going to be happy, if I'm going to be glad, then I've got to lose myself in something bigger than me. Now, folks, this can be March gladness in your life. If you're here today and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you know what? You can walk down the aisle of this church during the invitation, meet Brother Brian Morse up here and just look at him and say, I need someone to talk to me about being saved. God is speaking to my heart. I want to be born again. And you know what? A gladness will come in your soul that you've never experienced before. But Christians, listen to me. I believe most of the people that I'm preaching to know Jesus as their Savior today. And if you do, then you know what? If you've lost the joy of the Lord, you can find it this month. This month can be March gladness in your life. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Come on, Christians. What did you need to hear? You need to just buckle down and decide to be faithful to attending the house of the Lord. Do you need to have heard that God has not forgotten you in your adversity? Do you need to learn a little phrase? Well, praise the Lord anyway. Do you need to lose your life in a righteous cause? Whatever God's doing in your life, you let Him do it. You let Him do it. Heavenly Father, please, Lord. The whole world's running around chasing this pleasure and this madness, and Lord, they're immersing themselves in every sinful endeavor, trying to find just a few minutes of happiness here and there. And yet, as Christians, we are taught in the Word of God, Lord, that we can be a glad people. And Lord, we don't have to run our lives, run our bodies, run our minds, run our testimony to do it. We can find gladness in a righteous life and gladness in a busy life and gladness in the midst of trials and testings and gladness by learning just to praise you even if we don't understand it. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd help that Christian maybe that's struggling a bit. Speak to that heart that may not know you as Savior. Don't let them walk out of here lost. Convict them, Lord. Help them to realize how much you loved them. Help them to realize that heaven can be their home. Bless the invitation time, we pray. In Jesus' name.